My name is Michael Pakakis. I'm the director of the Victorian Space Science Education Centre.
Press the green button.
Definitely, it's that combination of drama and theatre, because there's a year 9 and 10 students, there's a 14, 15 year olds. So it's combining full on science with an awful lot of drama and trying to get them.
You have to be careful it doesn't get down to just a computer game.
Oh, no. So this is, once they step out onto Mars, I'll unbook you.
Welcome to the space show, Michael. Could you tell us what we're looking at here?
What we're looking at here is a recreation of one of the craters on Mars. The data that we collected from the two rovers that are on Mars enabled us to actually put this crater together. So basically, what you see here, all the things that have happened on Mars are actually happening in our crater. So there are subterranean lava flows. Because we've added heat mats underneath the soil, so students have to do temperature probes over the surface in order to determine where the subterranean lava flow is. We have refrigeration units sitting underneath the surface creating permafrost in certain areas, so students have to take core samples and bag those core samples and then take them to the laboratory in the afternoon for the afternoon session to do the analysis. We have half a dozen areas on the crater where the chemical composition of the soil is quite different, so they have to take soil samples and then again do an analysis in the laboratory later on. We have rocks sourced from all over Victoria with very similar chemical composition as the ones on Mars. Rio Tinto has donated some rocks from Western Australia as well for us. Again, the students have to take a certain number of rock samples again and study them in the laboratory.
And the students will be pretty much convinced they're on Mars by the look of it.
Oh, yes. When they walk out of the landing pod over there, what will happen is they will be inside a contained space. So there's a huge bubble, an inflatable bubble covering this whole space. So when they walk on the surface, they will not be able to see the edge. So it'll look a lot bigger than what it is.
Meanwhile, in another room, you've got some people watching them.
Yes. We've got a mission control room where we've got 12 students there with different responsibilities, looking after, for example, the environments within the astronaut suits, looking after, say, the atmospheric conditions on the surface of Mars. Basically, that's our mission control. So we've got 12 students in mission control, controlling the mission, and they are in direct communication with the students on the surface through Bluetooth technology, and controlling the activities and instructing the students on the surface to complete their mission successfully.
So they have an overall objective, presumably.
Yes, their overall objective is to collect samples of soil and rock, and also to set up communication device to get, say, the first images and first audio communication from the surface, and answer questions like, is there life or was there ever life? And those type of things. Yeah.
Well, perhaps we could move into the mission control and discuss what happens there.
Let's go.
Do the whole bit. Press the green button.
Definitely.
Right, now, Michael, we're in the Mission Control Centre.
Yep. We're in Mission Control. We have 12 computers here. Each computer is loaded up with the Mars software. We have a mission director. And the mission director is actually the leader in Mission Control. That student is the one nominated by their team in order to make the crucial decisions during the mission. There's a number of different responsibilities. For example, there's a biological systems officer who's responsible for the astronaut's well-being, so monitoring the internal environment of the astronaut suit, and also the physical state of the astronaut as well. There's also an electrical systems officer who monitors all of the electrical equipment on the surface that the astronauts are deployed, for example, the communications equipment I mentioned before. There's also an individual monitoring the environment on the surface, for example, the air temperature and also the radiation levels and so on.
And these are real measures, other than the radiation, obviously. Are these real measurements going on in real time?
Yes, they're real measurements. Real measurements, yeah.
I'll do the whole bit. Press the green button.
What we've walked into now is the research lab. We call it a research laboratory because it's equipped to be a research laboratory. This is where the students will do their afternoon session. This is associated with the Mars mission. So all the samples of soil and rocks will come in here, and there will also be additional experiments that they'll have to do, and they'll spend probably about 2 to 2.5 hours here in the afternoon. Once again, they'll have a logbook, so they'll have to record everything they do, have to record the results of their experiment and actually do some analytical questions based on the experiment that they're doing. So each pair of students will probably complete 2 experiments set up in this particular space. It's turned out to be one of the probably best equipped laboratories in Victoria at this stage at a secondary college. It has 3 analytical machines. It's got the UV visible spectrophotometer, it's got atomic absorption spectrophotometer, and it's got a gas liquid chromatographer. What else have we got? We've got a high powered microscope over there in the corner, which has been donated to us. It was a microscope that's used for IVF research, and we are able to put the image of that microscope up here on our active board. The other thing we've done in this particular room is we've wired it up so that any computer on any station in the laboratory, we can put that image up on the screen at the front. So if a student discovers something, or if we want to show the rest of the class and have an extended discussion on what's happening with that student's experiment, we can put that up on the screen and do that. This open space here that we're standing in, we've actually designed this purposefully because as part of the space station program, we are going to do a whole series of human physiological activities with the astronauts before they go into the space station. So we're basically going to give them an astronaut physical. So there's a whole program being written for that.
I'll do the whole bit. Press the green button.
Definitely.
Well, Michael, we've moved over to another set of 6 consoles. These are quite different from the others. What do they do?
Yes, these consoles are mission control consoles for the space station mission. We have 2 missions here at VSEC. We have the mission to Mars and a mission to the space station. So these consoles are dealing with the running of a space station. So, for example, there's a communications and tracking officer, so to make sure that the space station is in the right position and not falling to Earth. There is a ROSCO, which is a Robotic Operations Systems Officer. Now, this person is responsible for the robotic arm on the space station. And it is interesting because this is a simulation here in terms of the robotic arm operation, but what we've done is we've linked it to a robotic arm in the actual space laboratory where our astronauts are going to be in a simulated environment, in a space station environment. So there's a robotic arm activity in there, and that person is going to be communicating with the ROSCO, who's operating the robotic arm. And there's also an ODIN, which is the data interface engineer. This person is going to be monitoring all of the experiments that are being undertaken in the space laboratory. And there's about 15 different experiments. So all the data will be transmitted to this particular person, and that person will be responsible for the analysis of the data.
And the students, will they feel like they're really on a, talking to a space station?
Yes, we've tried to simulate their communications very, very similar. We've spoken to mission directors from NASA and also mission directors from European Space Agency. We've showed them the software. We've showed them the mission manuals and the mission control log manuals, which are very similar to theirs. So we've tried to keep it as close as possible.
I see one of the sections here on the Robotics Operations Systems Officer is something called satellite deployment. So they'll be simulating chucking satellites overboard from the space station?
Yes, that's correct, because one of the activities in the space laboratory is constructing a space probe. So there'll be two students in there constructing a space probe, and that will again coincide with this particular screen or the operations of this screen. So they will be deploying a satellite, yep.
And one of the important things about the operation of the space station is docking other spacecraft to it. Like, for example, the space shuttle or the supply vessels. Do you do that at all?
No, we don't do that. It was a bit complicated in terms of writing the software, so I suppose that's the next level I think we'll have to look at in the future. But no, we don't have a docking. We have a manoeuvring of the space station because there's a number of anomalies, both with the mission to Mars and also with this particular mission. There's a number of anomalies written through the software, so different things go wrong during the mission. So it's about an hour and 15 minute mission, each one, and there is probably, I would say, probably a half a dozen major things that are going to go wrong, and students will have to use both their mathematical skills and also their scientific skills in order to solve the problems that pop up on their screens. They may have to consult with the mission director, who's the leader in mission control. They may have to consult with the person next to them, or they may have to actually get together as a group and solve the problem.
Who wrote the software?
The software was written by games technology students at La Trobe University under the leadership of Dr. John Rankin, who's the leader of the department there.
Yeah. And I believe you had some involvement with students and game students.
Yeah. when Philip Spencer and I thought about the mission, we wrote a brief, and we approached La Trobe University. And when Dr. Rankin saw what we had done, and little did we know that he had a very long and distinguished career before he became a game technologist as a cosmologist. He was very, very interested in pursuing this. So what he did, he picked up our design and he developed a project for his third year students. And we had, in each of these packages that were written, we had over 150 third year games technology students vying for the right to actually write the final software. So it was very, very good in terms of getting the best, which ended up writing the actual software.
Hmm. Well, Michael, let's move into the space station then.
Yes. Now we've walked into the what we call the space laboratory. And what we've tried to do here is tried to simulate, and it's a little bit cramped because there'll probably be about 15 students in here, but then that's what it's like on the International Space Station. That's what we've tried to do. As you can see in the middle here, we've constructed our version of a glove box apparatus here, and we've got two compartments, so there'll be two students on either side of the glove box doing different activities.
Perhaps you could explain, Michael, what a glove box is.
Right, so a glove box is basically a self-contained environment where you would probably study materials that you don't want to contaminate, say, the environment that you're in. So, for example, if you're studying a meteorite or a rock collected from the surface, you would want to put it into a glove box just in case it's got any nasties on it. And if you were, say, studying a controlled experiment that you didn't want, if something happened to that experiment, to say leak into the environment and maybe damage equipment on the space station, that's where they would put it. They would put it into a glove box, which allows you to put your hands in gloves and manipulate whatever you want to do. So that's what we've tried to simulate with this unit here. The space itself is made up of a number of modules, which are small spaces. What we will do is set up a series of experiments in these spaces. So each student will work individually on different experiments, and again, when they've completed their experiment, they will have to then transfer the data to Mission Control. There'll be a communications officer in here that they'll have to work through in order to talk to Mission Control. Again, each of them will have a mission manual and a log, so they have to write down everything. All that will be submitted to their teacher for assessment at the end of the day.
And when you say it's a bit cramped, we're in a room that's about 4 metres across, at least.
Yep, about 4 metres across, yeah. But compared to the other rooms in the centre, this is probably the smallest room. We're hoping to have this in terms of the science or the diversity of science that we want to do with a student. This particular program is quite rich because this program will cover microbiology, robotics, earth science, remote sensing. Kids will be building probes. They'll be looking at hydroponics. So they'll be doing a whole range of things, whereas the mission to Mars is a little bit restricted in terms of it's sort of more skewed to geology and chemistry and so on. Yeah.
Now, all this is tied into the Victorian curriculum.
That's right. We've made sure that all the activities and all the science is within the Year 9 and Year 10 science curriculum being taught in Victoria, in Victorian schools. And we did this on purpose because we want the students to come in and we've only got a day to work with them, we really don't have that much time to actually teach them any new science. So we would like them to come in and use the science that their teachers are teaching them in their classroom. And I think that's important because it allows them to see how the science that they're being taught in the classroom, how that's actually used in the real world.
Now, if any teachers are listening, how should they go about getting involved in this?
Okay. Very simple. You get onto the website, which is vsec.com.au, and there is a booking link. So you click on booking at VSEC, and the booking sheet will come up, and fill in your details and send it off to us, and we'll get it. We advise that you book at least 6 to 8 weeks ahead because there is pre-visit material that we would like you to do in your classrooms before you come here, because of the nature of the programs and the software that the students will be exposed to. We would like teachers to prepare them for their mission, and basically this is what happens in real life. Yeah.
And what do you suggest for any students that are listening?
There's some pretty exciting times coming up if they come to the Victorian Space Science Education Centre. I think one of the most common things I get when people come in here was, I wish I had this when I was at school.
You bet. Yeah. Okay, and who paid for it all?
It was paid for by the Victorian government. Yeah, cost of $6.4 million. Yeah. And it's available to every single student in the state.
And whereabouts is it?
It has been built on the on Strathmore Secondary College grounds at Strathmore.
I'll do the whole bit. Press the green button. Definitely.
So, Michael, where are we now?
We are in the Massimo room, and the Massimo room is named after a scientist called Massimo Bonici, who runs a very similar room at the European Space Agency. He runs the concurrent design facility, and it is a room developed by the European Space Agency, and there's also a room at JPL run by NASA. And what those rooms have done is it's decreased the amount of time that those two agencies require in order to design a spacecraft and also design a whole mission. So we've been to these places and spoken to the leaders of those facilities, and what we've done is we've come back and we've modelled our room on theirs. Now, you may well ask why, because, well, when we sat down for hours and hours and hours and they were explaining to us what they do in this room, we all looked at each other and we thought, wouldn't this be a fantastic room to develop, not spacecraft, but curriculum? So this is how we've done it. So we've set up this room and we've installed some very interesting software which will enable us to work with teachers when they come in here to develop units of work which they can take back to their class and teach.
I see some electronic circuits boards here. Is that just part of your development or is it part of the program?
These are special electronic trainers which are supplied to us by NIDA Corporation in the United States, and one of their big things in the United States is that they train electronics engineers for NASA. So they've adopted that system of training to develop these electronic trainers to train students on electronics. And what they've also done is they've connected their electronic trainers to interactive software. So students will come in and do a tutorial on a specific area of electronics, and then the tutorial, using a whole series of these circuit board cards, will then enable them to complete the tasks on the electronic trainers. So that the trainers are actually built, again, to fault. So therefore, students need to use their knowledge that they've learned through the tutorial in order to solve the problem on the actual on the card.
I could see that would be a godsend to many year 10 teachers who have to teach electronics.
Yes, it would be. And the way we've seen students work with these, it is a godsend, because once again, they've developed software that it takes nothing for the students to adapt to. We took a group of students to it's actually Melbourne, Florida, where they've got their factory. And they took them into the laboratory and they put them in front of equipment and software which our students had never seen before, and they just got stuck into it straight away with no problems whatsoever. So I think that actually that afternoon we were sold. Yeah.
How many staff do you have here, Michael, and what are their qualifications?
Yeah, at the moment it's myself, and I've been a biology teacher for 20 years, 14 of those years at Strathmore Secondary College. We've got a very experienced chemistry teacher who's been teaching chemistry for 35 years as well at Strathmore, and we've also employed an aerospace engineer to assist us. And we've also got a curriculum writer at the moment, because we're in the process of still writing a lot of our curriculum. We'll be employing probably one or two people at the start of next year. So that makes up the staff in the centre.
Thanks for joining us on the Space Show, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
I'll do the whole bit. Press the green button. Definitely, it's that combination of drama and theatre, because there's a year 9 and 10.